if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Hello. How are you, everybody? This is your host, Bill Carnes, 2A Radio. Thank you very much, RJ Hinder, for sending the show off to me, and I welcome your audience that stuck around. By a listener request from a phone call on Monday, I am going to cover what I have uncovered about Indiana and its laws on carrying openly. Now, in order to carry a gun in Indiana, you need to get a carry license, a carry permit. It's not a traditional open carry state, such as, you know, like Nevada or Arizona or I think even Utah, I believe, where you can just carry open, no big deal. But in Indiana, you get a carry permit. Now, it is not a concealed carry permit. It is a carry permit. You can carry concealed or you can carry open. It doesn't really matter. Now, I checked a few different places, and there's two different types of permits. You can get one that's good for 4 years, and it costs X number of dollars. And I looked in two or three different places and found two or three different amounts. Or you can spend about three times that, and you can get a lifetime carry permit you never have to reapply for. So if you get a carry permit, you can carry either open, exposed, or concealed. And it doesn't really matter either way. It's not expressed on the permit. And in the law that's written, you can carry it however the hell you want to. Now it's for carrying a handgun. So, just so you understand, in Indiana, you go get the permit. It doesn't matter concealed or open. And you can carry away. That's the way it goes in Indiana. What we're going to do just right this second now is we're going to go into Washington, D.C., from yesterday. We had the two different rallies, one much more appropriate than the other. First of all, we had the Second Amendment March. Right? Now, of course, the Second Amendment March is the one where we're switching on Washington and on April 19th, celebrating Concord, Lexington. Really? And what it ended up with was more so a big group of people standing around that didn't march anywhere. They couldn't secure the proper permits to march. Then, on the other side of the Potomac, in Virginia, what we had was a huge group of people just outside of Washington, D.C., within view of the Capitol building, actually carrying guns. So, kind of the last-minute throw-together group, but the one that actually did the much more patriotic thing. They were actually out there with their guns, actually announcing, look, here we are, we've got our guns, and we don't want you goofing with them anymore. We're done with that. We are just simply done with you guys goofing with our guns. So, we're going to talk about what happened with both these groups, really how everything ended up, and we're going to go into it during this time. So stay tuned. More to come after the break. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443. All right, guys, welcome back. So we're going to talk about these marches yesterday in D.C. and right across the river in Virginia. And here's a little bit of a story by a guy named Frank James. Says some outspoken supporters of the Second Amendment rallied in Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia on Monday to assert their constitutional rights to bear arms. Hear ye. Those who rallied in Washington, D.C. on the National Mall couldn't openly carry their weapons because the National Capitol has some of the nation's strictest gun control laws. And that is still today, nearly 2 years after the Heller decision striking down those laws. All that the D.C. City Council has done is rewrite those same laws, put in they would rewrite the same laws, however, make them look a little less restrictive, then put provisions for approval of guns and people carrying guns, but haven't authorized anyone to authorize that carrying of those guns. You understand? They're just playing hide the weenie. So, since Virginia has more liberal gun laws, those attending a demonstration there were able to carry their weapons at Fort Hunt National Park, south of Alexandria. The demonstrators on the mall in Washington, some of whom carried yellow Don't Tread on Me flags, had as a backdrop the Washington Monument. Those yellow flags provided an eye-catching contrast to the ring of American flags at half-staff around the monument, lowered in observance of the 15th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, the NPR reporter by the name of Jamie Terabay reported the following for the network's newscast. So you can hear what NPR said. They say, demonstrators at the Virginia rally gathered at the banks of the Potomac River. They wanted to get as close to Washington, D.C. as they could with weapons without violating the city's strict gun laws. The Supreme Court has ruled that D.C.'s handgun ban violated the Second Amendment to the Constitution, but restrictions remain. Those meeting under the Washington Monument at a separate rally left their weapons at home. People like Chris Muser came with his wife and daughter from New Hampshire. He says it's easier to buy a gun there in Washington, D.C., yet his state has very little crime. Muser says, the problem with the crime rate has nothing to do with guns. If guns were the issue, New Hampshire would have a much higher crime rate. Speakers at the rally urged the crowd to vote for candidates who support gun rights. Well, hear ye. You can't really ask for much more than that. So, yeah, if the guy's actually in D.C., not carrying any guns, but rallying for them, then you have the guys on the other side of the river who actually have their guns rallying for them. And here's a big question for you. Where was Obama yesterday? Anybody pick up on this? Where was Obama? Well, I'll tell you where he was. He was all the way on the other side of the country in California. Now, California, for those of you who would be anti-gun, is one of the safer places to be if you don't want anybody around you with guns because of how strict their gun control laws are. Illinois and the Chicago area would probably be another one because the only people with guns there are bad guys and cops. In California, where Obama was, now keep in mind, this is supposed to be somewhat of a late planned trip to go to California. And not do just one, but two separate benefits to support Barbara Boxer's campaign for re-election. Now, she's seeking a third term, I believe, third or fourth term. Maybe she's at the end of her third term. I forget. She's trying to get re-elected as an incredibly leftist Democrat out of California to represent the people of California and D.C. And Obama goes there, not only spends all day there, but also spends the night there. Now, do you think that there might be something coincidental about putting all of this stuff together for Boxer in California and then having Obama come out there? And keep in mind, Boxer's still leading in the polls in California. She's still leading in the polls. So you have to understand that it's not that he went to go help out a candidate that's really hurting, like Harry Reid in Nevada, who in a lot of polls is behind by double digits. No. He went to California to campaign for somebody who's still leading the polls, and then spend the night there. And I wonder if there was a little bit of, you know, this is planned out because he knew he was going to have potentially hundreds of thousands of people who were pro-gunners marching on Washington on that same day. So, he leaves the city. Well, in California, in Sacramento, gun advocates were there rallying at the state capitol yesterday. So here's that story. With guns in holsters and rifles strapped to their chests, Second Amendment activists converged Monday outside California's capitol to demonstrate their right to bear arms. Now, keep in mind, the last time this happened and made big news was back in the mid-60s when the Black Panthers did it, but their guns were loaded. These are unloaded. That happened yesterday. Still within the laws of the state, which is exactly why they were there. Most of the 50 protesters who gathered brought guns and rifles, although they said their weapons were not loaded to comply with the state's open carry law. Say, quote, "The Second Amendment gives us the right to keep and bear arms," end quote, said rally organizer Kent Sandhagen, who wore a pistol in a leather holster on his hip. Sandhagen of Los Banos said he and other gun owners organized the gathering to coincide with a similar rally in the nation's capital. They also were protesting a bill pending in California's legislature that would ban gun owners from openly carrying unloaded guns in public. One man carried a sign reading, "Patriotic legislators do not permit infringement." The bill, by Democratic Assemblywoman Lori Saldana of San Diego, is scheduled for a committee hearing today. She has described the proposed ban as a public safety issue. But of course, because you see all the people walking around with guns on their hips in California that are unloaded, going by the state law, and there's all sorts of chaotic mess going on around them, correct? There's all sorts of... The public is much less safe now, is what she would have you believe. What is it? I don't like guns. I'm afraid of guns. I'm ignorant to them, so I must need to hate them. I'm a liberal Democrat, so my party platform is to hate guns, so we need to ban people carrying guns. It's really the rationale here. It would make California the fourth state to ban people from wearing guns openly, according to the Legal Community Against Violence, a public interest law center based in San Francisco. Totally leftist. It's almost like the Southern Poverty Law Center, but it's based out of San Francisco. Ryan Johnson, a 32-year-old mechanic from Sacramento, said he doesn't make a habit of carrying his Smith & Wesson rifle in public, but made an exception for Monday's rally. He says, "It's more important than that other people don't tell me not to carry my rifle," is what he's getting at. "I have a constitutional right I need to exercise." Now, only gun owners with a concealed weapons permit can carry a loaded weapon in California, with restrictions, but a restriction protesters also argue violates the Second Amendment. The Saldana bill would not impact concealed weapons permits. The proposed open carry ban is backed by, of course, the California Police Chiefs Association, our actual minions, the guys that we have working for us. They are our service provider. A service provider, which, again, mind you, the Supreme Court ruled back in the 80s, has no legal obligation to have to provide police protection to any individual citizen. So they don't need to protect us. So now in California, you can only carry an unloaded gun, but you can carry ammunition with you, so it's readily available to load, provided you actually have the opportunity. And then, of course, we have Representative Saldana, Lori Saldana of San Diego, saying, "You know, I don't even want you to be able to do that. You need to be able to, we need to keep you completely unprotected, completely out of line, totally unprotected in California. We don't want you carrying anything." And the rationale behind that? Public safety? Seriously? It's a public safety. I don't understand how someone carrying a gun, especially an unloaded one at that, is by any means a public safety issue. That's not what it is. It's that the police are only allowed to stop and stop you to make sure that the gun isn't loaded. That's all. They can't further interview you the way the law currently is. They cannot take your ID. They cannot run the gun. They cannot harass you. The police are at bay from harassing you, other than to make sure that the loaded gun law isn't being violated. It has to be unloaded. And the only thing I've been able to come up with, and one of the listeners, my buddy of mine, Tim Gallo, who lives up in the Northern California area, said that one person in San Francisco that heard you could carry open but didn't really investigate the law did walk around with a loaded gun and got busted for doing that. However, other than the statutory crime of having a gun with a round in the chamber, nothing ill happened. No other laws were broken. And the guy was carrying around the gun because he heard he could carry a gun in California. Well, there you go. So, as far as we know, still, there has not been any actual crime committed by any honest, law-abiding citizen walking around with a loaded gun. What it is a whole bunch of the lefties out there feeling uncomfortable with guns being loaded on the hips of Californians. Stay tuned, guys. Plenty more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearm to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, guys, welcome back. Of course, we got past April 19th without any violence. What we had was we had a bunch of people like Bill Clinton and a bunch of other anti-gunners saying that the reason that April 19th was picked was, well, because that was the anniversary, 15 years, that Timothy McVeigh bombed the Oklahoma City Federal Building, which is a total crock of crap. Total garbage. The reason April 19th, as we went through yesterday on the show, was because it's the anniversary of Concord, Lexington. When the first battle, the first skirmish between American colonists actually fought to protect their rights against the tyranny of the British soldiers who were going to the ammo depot, really, to take or burn or somehow other disseminate or keep for themselves all the powder kegs that the colonists were keeping. They used to keep all the powder kegs together in a joint area because they needed to be stored in a kind of a special way, so everybody didn't have to build their own little special area for their own powder. They kept it in a community area. So, despite the let me get right into this. April 19th is over, without violence, this year anyway. This is coming off of someone who is, her name is Joan Walsh, and she's reporting on Salon.com. She says, despite idiocy from Limbaugh, Bachman, Palin, and pro-gun protesters unaware Obama legalized guns in national parks. Now, that's not true. And Obama didn't legalize guns in national parks. What happened was the Republican senators got it into a bill that was had to do with credit reform as a writer, and Obama had promised to pass the Credit Card Reform Act. This is a writer, so I don't know that he made it legal. Actually, his administration blocked the previous administration from being able to get this thing enacted by allowing a federal court to say, yeah, the Bush administration didn't do it right, so the Obama administration is going to have to fight me if they want to allow it. Of course, they weren't doing that. She says, gun-toting Restore the Constitution protesters, gathered in Metro's D.C., Fort Hunt National Park as well, to warn against the Obama administration's threats to the Second Amendment, even though it was Obama who signed the bill authorizing their carrying guns into a national park. Meanwhile, Their supporters in punditry and government did their best to keep anti-government rhetoric at fevered pitch, a tragic history of April 19th notwithstanding. Now, keep in mind, this is a very liberal anti-gun person writing this article. You have to understand who we're up against. All weekend long, President Clinton, former President Clinton, warned that similar demonstrations of government led to Timothy McVeigh's bloody terrorism 15 years ago. Well, I have to tell you, Bill Clinton is by far not the brightest crayon in the box. Never has been, never will be, never has been reputed to be. It's just him getting on the pro-government bandwagon. Okay? But Rush Limbaugh blamed Clinton for McVeigh's violence instead, pointing to his administration's moves against the right-wing, anti-government militants of David Koresh's Branch Davidians on April 19, 1993. Now, notice how she says this. Against the right-wing, anti-government militants of David Koresh's Branch Davidian. Now, you can see where the lefties are really going after this. She's stacking all of this stuff and trying to throw people who are Christians. They're believing in David Koresh. Now, in my opinion, David Koresh and what he was pitching to the people was pretty goofy, right? But people are free to believe as they want, right? I mean, we have all kinds of religions in this country. I would venture to say hundreds of religions in this country. And she's saying that they actually were anti-government and putting it off as though, on April 19th, 1993, the Branch Davidian attacked the government. When, in fact, it was the government that burned down that complex and killed over 80 people, men, women, and children. Because, on their own private property, the government wanted to go in there and look around. On their own private property. And when it all, when everything was done, fire was put out and the ashes were still seething, and they were able to go through the rubble. There was nothing illegal on that property. But now, Bill Clinton and his administration allowed for government troops in the name of the FBI. They also had the National Guard out there. They had the FBI out there. The government troops to go in there, burn down and kill over 80 people in Central Texas. And now we've got this lady trying to make it seem as though it was the church members that were wrong, not the government, and how they were right-wing and anti-government. Now, there's never been anything anti-government related. They just didn't want to be messed with. Who could possibly blame them? Stay tuned, guys. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right. Guys, I got to take just a moment here. I operate out of a studio here in Pahrump, Nevada, same studio that Dave Champion does on the Dave Champion Show. And we go through this ISDN line, very high-end phone line, digital technology, back to the studio in Round Rock, Texas, just north of Austin. And I always have the very same engineer producing my show by the name of Kerry. Kerry rocks. Kerry is having a little bit of a bad day, and me trying to joke around kind of really ticked her off. So, Kerry, I want to say, baby, I love you, and I apologize. I want to let everybody in America know that. And I hope your day gets better, and I will be a little bit more sensitive and not have my head buried so far in my kazoo when I make just little zinging, what I think kind of are funny little statements. So my apologies. You rock. You do a wonderful job, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day knowing that a guy that almost never apologizes for pissing off women is actually apologizing for pissing a woman off. So we need to actually mark that in the calendar. Usually happens about two or three times a year. This is the first one. So there you go, and that's for you, Carrie. All right, guys. In addition to all of the pro-gun rallies yesterday, there were protesters railing against Starbucks for allowing guns in their stores. So it's an anti-gun rally. Now, picket signs and protesters rallied at a Starbucks in Denver in an effort to implore the chain to change its policies on firearms. Currently, the coffee giant allows customers to carry firearms into its stores in accordance with state laws. Starbucks has no ban on lawful concealed carry or even open carry on its premises, but Colorado Cease Fire, a Colorado-based gun control group, is trying to pull Starbucks into the center of a diverse social issue. Attention was first brought to Starbucks when some open carry supporters, people who support the open carrying of a firearm, began meeting in coffee houses across the nation. The Brady campaign to completely screw each and every American out of the ability to protect themselves with a gun, I think that's their official name, followed by groups like Colorado Cease Fire, quickly rushed to pressure Starbucks into changing their policies. But it's not just open carry that the protesters were rallying against. They say, we've got approximately 50,000 permits to carry concealed weapons in Colorado, which means that these loaded handguns are going into stores all over the state, said Ted Pasco with Colorado Cease Fire. An accurate statement. And what's the point? Starbucks, however, much to their credit, has so far refused to let the political ambushes wreak havoc on their politics. Starbucks has further explained that their allowances of lawfully carried firearms as part of their respect for the local law and the local rule of law rather than ideological agendas. Now, before I move on with this story, I'm going to give you just a couple little pieces of my thoughts on this, as you can expect. Starbucks is not subverting the law. They're going by the law. When you have an establishment which is open to the entire public, your ability to limit any of their God-given rights, of the public's God-given rights, when they come in, is incredibly limited. If you can have private property, and by leasing it, that's all part of the property. If you own the building, it's all part of private property, that's fine. But if it's open to the general public, where the general public can come in and gather, whether it's gather to socialize or gather to spend money on your products or whatever, if it's totally open for the public to come in without restrictions, their ability to restrict rights is severely limited. And this is something which is starting to come up in a lot of court cases. Walmart, Home Depot, Starbucks, Best Buy, all major national chains that don't say anything along the lines of no guns allowed. They have to allow them. Now, it's interesting. Here in my little town of Pahrump, Nevada, we're northwest of Vegas, about 50 miles or so. It takes maybe 45 minutes or an hour with traffic, if there is any traffic, on the highway to get into Vegas. It's no big deal. I can get to the airport in an hour. In Pahrump, a lot of people carry guns, not just concealed. A lot of people carry openly because Nevada is an open carry state, with the exception of Boulder City, Nevada, which is the gateway to Hoover Dam there. It is an open carry state, and a lot of people in more rural Nevada, that is outside of Las Vegas. A lot of people in Vegas are carrying, but a whole lot more are carrying out in the rural areas. In Pahrump, we are a rural little area outside of Vegas, a different county, and a lot of people here, including myself, pack a lot. Dave Champion packs absolutely constantly. I pack the majority of the time. If I don't have my gun on me, I always have my knife on me. There's just, you know, sometimes I'm going around and doing enough stuff that I'm always carrying. Sometimes I leave the house, do a quick run, and maybe I just leave the gun in the car. I should probably carry it all the time. I don't. Not all the time. I always have a gun with me. That's the interesting thing. If it's not on me, it's in the car. And if I'm just running around doing stuff and I'm not getting out of the car, sometimes I won't wear it because I don't want to tear up my leather seats. I'm not so sure that's the right decision. Maybe I should carry cross-draw when I'm driving. Anyhow, I digress. The only place I can think of in the entire town where I've ever seen a sign that has a publicly open area is not at Walmart, but one of the little leasees in the front of the store. There's a place in there where you can go in there and get your hair cut, a salon. And they have a little sign, and this is a this company, whatever their name is, I don't know. They have a franchise, and they're in many Walmarts throughout the country, several throughout the country. And they have a sign, no guns allowed. Now, the thing is that they are really skating on thin ice. As a matter of fact, they've actually crashed through at least one leg through the ice with that, because Walmart is a public open area, and the entire public can go in there. And unless you're bald and don't have the ability to grow hair, you have the option to go in and get your hair cut at this place. And this is not something that the people, even the management or employees, agree with, but it's part of the corporate policy. Because I guess they don't want the old blue hairs in there getting their due done, and somebody walks in, sits down with a gun on them. Now, I've walked in there and bought product from them, bought, you know, shampoo or conditioner or something from them, with my gun on, until I realized that that sign was there. I haven't spent a dime in there since. Now the place I go to, the ladies that work in there have no problem with me walking in with my gun on while I'm getting a haircut. That's where I spend my money now. That's what I would encourage you to do as well. But that's the only place in the entire town I can think of that has a no-guns policy. We don't have a bunch of gun violence here. And crime is pretty low. The biggest crime in this entire town is a combination of two things. One, there's domestic violence. And two, there's like, you know, drug charges. Because in the Southwest area, in smaller towns, there seems to be a propensity for brewing up meth. Not that we're a little meth-head town, but those are the two most common things that the police get called out for. Domestic violence and drugs. And oftentimes, they're all wrapped up into the same call. The druggies beating up on each other. So, with that being said, we don't have a bunch of gun crime here in this town. What we do have is a lot of people in town who carry guns so they don't become victims of crime. And that is where these anti-gunners are so wrong. They believe that the gun is the problem. They believe that if you take an honest-to-God, law-abiding citizen who's just a wonderful person, a good family person, family man, family woman, whatever it is, a professional in the community, never been arrested, you know, not a drunk, not a druggie, nobody's who commits crime, and you put a gun in their hand, all of a sudden, they become a crime-ridden, homicidal maniac, or a maniac with homicidal tendencies. They believe the gun somehow possesses very mystical powers. Kind of like if you put kryptonite around the neck of Superman, he can no longer control himself, he loses his powers. As though a gun is like kryptonite for someone who's law-abiding, they lose their power to be law-abiding, and they slip into some animalistic mindset and just want to go on a homicidal rampage. That's what these anti-gunners, they have some belief level of that. They also are completely misled on the idea that if you have a gun and a criminal wants it, you're going to be their victim. Having never actually put themselves into the position or the mindset of being in the position of a criminal. If you're a criminal, you're out there looking for easy marks. You can get in, do your crime, get out of the way, end up with whatever, whether you're trying to get into someone's house or you're trying to steal their wallet or watch or ring or whatever it is, get away clean and scot-free without having that victim fight back or cause you any potential death or serious bodily injury. The last person a bad guy is going to go after is someone they know is armed. They're not going to go in there against somebody who's armed and roll the dice on whether or not they're going to be able to get that person's gun and get out of there. That won't happen. Because at the very least, what you're going to have to realize, even if the bad guy gets the good guy's gun, very likely he's going to have to shoot the good guy and get away. Does the average petty criminal really want to have a murder or attempted murder rap and have to do some honest-to-God, real-life decade or more worth of time? Or do they move on and go find somebody in the parking lot where it's dark that's not paying attention, some small, meek, pathetic, in their minds, victim that they can physically overcome or threaten with their knife or gun? Who would you go after? You'd go after the weakest gazelle, not the strong gazelle at the front of the pack, the weak gazelle at the back. That's what the bad guys do. Bad guys don't attack people with guns when they know they have guns. It just doesn't happen. I mean, statistically, look at it. If somebody knows you're armed, they don't attack you unless they're completely whacked out of their mind. Either they have a tremendous chemical imbalance, or they're on something which has created a chemical imbalance, and almost never do they succeed. So, carrying a gun is a good thing. Carrying a gun keeps the bad guys at bay. Carrying a gun keeps you from being a victim. It also keeps your family and your loved ones from being a victim. If any of you are victimized and you have a gun and you've been trained, you can then handle the situation. Now, the opportunity to get trained is coming up in about 11 days. That is May 1st and 2nd at Burro Canyon Shooting Park, just outside, just north of Azusa, California. That is to benefit the Shalene Nightingale for Governor of California campaign. And this is a two-day class. It's a weekend class, Saturday, Sunday. I'm running it. I'm bringing some of my good buddies up there that are high-end, top-notch professional instructors. We still have room open. You can only sign up through the end of the day tomorrow, if memory serves correct. The class is $200. That all goes to benefit Shalene's campaign. Me, the rest of the staff, we're all donating our time. The $200 includes the range fees that the range is charging, which, by the way, they're on board because they're only charging half of the normal range fees. And it includes a hot lunch both days, all for $200. You need your gun. You need 500 rounds of ammo, holster, magazine pouch, or speed loaders and speed loader pouch, and some very basic stuff, sunglasses, protective glasses, ear protection, a hat, sunblock, you know, maybe cooler with some drinks, a chair to sit down in. Some very basic things is what you need to bring. Right? And the class itself is $200. You will get 3 full days worth of training in only 2. And we're operating from about 9 to 5, you know, regular hours. An hour break for lunch. And we're going to be shooting from 3 meters all the way out to, and including, I'm sorry, 3 yards actually, all the way out to and including 7 yards. Nothing further. We're going to be shooting closer. The reason is the vast majority of encounters with a handgun for self-defense are within arm's reach or just a little bit further. So the furthest we're going to go is 7 yards, 21 feet. Because well over 99% of the shootings on the streets with civilians, and police for that matter, are 21 feet or closer. The vast, vast majority. I mean, overwhelming majority. So we will teach you the skills that it takes to win a gunfight. Then you can go home and practice and get better. And then maybe you might like to get into the shooting thing a little bit more, into the defensive training. But Azusa, California is where this is going to be. If you happen to be flying in or want to fly in, Ontario, California is actually the closest airport. But Ontario, LAX, Burbank, Orange County Airport, all of those are definitely within driving distance. I mean, all of those are within, let's see, even LAX is an hour away. Burbank is closer. Ontario is closer. John Wayne International, which is the Orange County Airport, maybe an hour and a half. But you have an opportunity to sign up only through the end of the day tomorrow. Go to my website, 2aradio.com, or nightingaleforgovernor.com. Click on the links, get signed up. We have spots left open, which is why we extended it for a couple of more days, to try and fill it and just get the last few people in the last few spots before everything closes out. If you're in California, or you can get to California, or you know people who are in California, this is a great opportunity to get fantastic training for about 80% off. All right, guys, stay tuned. More to come after the break.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
Hi guys, welcome back. You know, I don't know if any of you happen to see it. Yesterday's Glenn Beck program on the Fox News Channel. Now, I don't make it a habit of watching Glenn Beck. I catch him maybe once or twice a month, maybe. But I wanted to see yesterday's show just to see if he had covered anything on the Second Amendment March. And I got through about half of the show. I was watching the very, very late edition that comes on at 11 o'clock at night. And he hadn't hit on it yet. But I have to tell you, the most emotional and moving news show I had ever seen was Glenn Beck on his program last night. If you get an opportunity to maybe look it up online and watch it, or watch just the opening, say, 15 minutes, you really see somebody that he was going through the same thing that I feel, and that is, it is such an unbelievable uphill battle. To take time out of your day and make it a big part of your life to fight for what is right against all of the people out there who are actually already in office, who were part of the polluted system, who were part of this country not just having gotten into the lousy situation it's in over the last few decades, but the ones that are perpetrating, keeping it there, and making it even worse. It is so difficult to get up every day and try to put together something which is honest and straightforward and righteous in the eyes of the way that the Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution. That's the only way that you can legitimately ever interpret the Constitution. It's not this living, breathing document. The only way to legitimately interpret the Constitution is by what the Founding Fathers meant when they wrote it at the time that they wrote it, period. There is no discussion beyond that. Any discussion beyond that is someone who is trying to pervert the intention of the Constitution and our Republic into something which it was never intended and never should be. We've seen the mistakes of the rest of the world. We're doing nothing but following them, and we're allowing the politicians to do that. Now we're allowing the politicians to say, those of you who don't like what we're doing and stand up and say something about it, that is anti-government rhetoric, and that's dangerous. Look at what Bill Clinton just said this weekend. And folks, these are the people who are not honest, that have their own agenda, and they know what they're doing, trying to subvert us and keep us from doing the right thing. I have to compliment Glenn Beck on his program yesterday. If you have an opportunity to look it up, I would encourage it. So you can understand what a lot of us here on RBN go through on a daily basis. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow.
Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.